Hi, my name is Ian Philpott. In this recording, I worked with Tom Stringer and we talked about the Stack Exchange Network. Tom Stringer is a support escalation engineer in the CSS organization at Microsoft. He spends a lot of his time answering questions, asking questions, and finding good questions on this network. So when our new initiative this year around working on the Stack Exchange Network with MVPs to provide great answers to questions came up, I thought of none other. So here I am introducing Tom and asking a little bit about himself and discussing a little bit about what we're going to talk about today.
Hey, good day, everybody. Like Ian said, I'm Tom Stringer. I'm a SQL support escalation engineer and do a lot of development work and that type of stuff on the side. So what we're going to be talking about here today is definitely a tool that's not only helpful for programmers, developers, software people, our type of people, but you know, the rest of the world as well.
Here, I decided to talk to Tom a little bit about what Stack Exchange actually is, how he uses it, and some of the benefits he finds from it. So let's join Tom as he dives right in.
You know, Stack Exchange, it's something that really revolutionized, you know, question and answering. And, you know, kind of just diving into it, I guess, here. You know, Stack Exchange itself, it's a company. And what they've made is the product that you're pretty much staring at right now. And it's, you know, it's the focal point of what they do. And in short, it's basically a networking of a handful, a large amount of different sites that are aimed at question and answering. And, you know, it's really one of those things where, you know, especially Ian, like, you know, you and I kind of growing up, you know, we really saw the growth and the maturity and the maturing process itself of different Q&A venues. And, you know, obviously what comes to mind first and foremost is, you know, the traditional internet forum. You know, we've all been part of them, especially, you know, us computer people. You know, it's something that maybe, you know, we contributed on. We asked some questions, maybe we got into some, you know, discussions, that type of thing. But I think what, you know, Stack Exchange really does here is they've revolutionized the knowledge sharing aspect of Q&A. And, you know, question and answering, you know, it's pretty much, you know, the primal basics for us as human beings, right? I mean, none of us are really born knowing really all that much of anything. I mean, we have such a, you know, a small subset of skills, you know, as, you know, coming into this world, right? So, and one of the things that, you know, we ultimately have to do to become a productive human and an adult would be to, you know, ask questions. And we, you know, ultimately the way to really learn the best is to ask questions in the most, you know, the most efficient way and to a certain crowd and a certain audience that can give us, you know, the best answer. And then, you know, through that knowledge share, you know, then hopefully we can take that back to whatever it is we're asking the question for, and then, you know, kind of store it away. And now we'd become the, you know, the experts on whatever it is that we're asking the question about. So ultimately, that's what Stack Exchange really does, is they've made the process of that Q&A really something special. And, you know, if you, you know, even looked up the word programming once on the internet, you've most definitely probably heard of Stack Overflow. Stack Overflow, to date, has absolutely, without question, changed the face of software development. You know, you can't really do a search, you know, a particular search on, you know, a programming language or syntax or how do you do this type of thing without, you know, kind of hitting, you know, 80% of your search results are going to be Stack Overflow questions and answers. And that's actually a really good thing, right? Because just through the nature of the way they design the Q&A process at Stack Exchange, you get your answer really fast and really efficiently and good information. And we'll kind of, you know, go into why that's good information and why it's a really good format and, you know, why you should be a part of it. Exactly. But, you know, so everybody and, you know, their mother know about Stack Overflow, right? But, you know, I think something that isn't really as widely known is the other sites that Stack Exchange offer. And they have everything, you know, technically that you could really ever, you know, look for. You know, as you can see here up on the screen here, this is their listing. If you were to go to stackexchange.com and there's a link for all sites, you would basically be confronted with the same type of screen here. And they have these ordered in the popularity as far as, you know, questioning and answering goes. So obviously Stack Overflow is going to be, you know, front and leading here. But, you know, it's definitely worth taking a look at what else Stack Exchange, you know, has to offer here. Obviously, the origin of Stack Exchange itself was more geared towards the technical environments, but they've done a really great job of extending that into other different features here and other different areas of life, such as culture, recreation, life, arts, science, that type of thing. So if you have a question about anything, there's actually a really good chance that there is a Stack Exchange site that it would be appropriate to ask your specific question to. You know, Ian, and a really good example of that is, for whatever reason, in the past year, I've became this wannabe, you know, tomato gardener, right? So, you know, I'm here, I don't really know all that much about gardening, I have tomato plants growing, and you know, I have some questions about what I'm seeing on my plants, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And, you know, all I did was, you know, I asked my tomato question on this gardening and landscaping Stack Exchange site. So the reason I'm bringing that about is, I, you know, when you're thinking of Stack Exchange, don't just think I have a computer question or I have a programming question or I have a database question. Stack Exchange fits that. Stack Exchange fits really a large variety of you know, your Q&A requirements. So that's, that, you know, kind of just to start this whole thing out, that's in a nutshell, and I'm sure there's a large amount of people that could probably explain Stack Exchange a little bit better, but in a nutshell, that's pretty much what Stack Exchange is, and we'll go into why it's such a great process, but that's pretty much it.
That was a great overview by Tom. Next up, I wanted to talk to Tom a little bit about how Stack Overflow and Stack Exchange has changed the way forums work and how accepting people are when you're asking a question. Do we need to worry about flame wars and things like that on Stack Overflow? Let's hear what Tom has to say.
No, that's a really good question. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the flame wars and that type of thing. And, you know, the old forum model, you know, it didn't have a way to naturally prevent and regulate that. And what's really beautiful about, you know, Stack Exchange is basically the community is the first form of defense at kind of regulating bad answers or off-topic discussions, because we're all used to it, right? You know, you saw the forums where you'd have like a really basic question and then it would turn into like 100 answers to the original thread and, you know, 10 pages to sift through. Not really a clear understanding of, hey, who actually answered the original poster's question. And that's, you know, that's really what, you know, Stack Exchange kind of, you know, shines here. So, you know, you see a certain progression of, you know, you have your question and then you have your particular answers. And ultimately, it's not meant to be a discussion, right? So it's meant to be where you ask a really good question and then you have really good answers. And what really kind of regulates the quality of answers is this voting system that you see here. So in other words, if you were to be reading a good question and you say, hey, you know what, this question actually is, this is well worded. He gave me lots of data that I'm looking for. It's a good format. I understand what this poster is trying to get. So, you know, you would upvote it, right? So really good questions, you would see they would have a positive amount of votes, and really great questions, they'd have tens, hundreds of these votes. So it's really a good way to say, hey, I'm coming into this new question here, and it might have a, you know, -2 or -3. That's a pretty good way, without even having to read the question, that, you know what, maybe this original poster didn't really word it all that well, or maybe it's off topic, or maybe it's not really Maybe it's not really something I should spend time on trying to figure out before I even, you know, read the first few characters of this question. And then likewise, if you were to go down to the answers, say you asked a question, right? Okay. And, you know, maybe, you know, you asked a question and there's two or three answers and, you know, you're reading through the answers and, you know, you asked the question because you don't really know what the answer is. Hopefully that's why you asked the question. And so now you're having to choose what maybe three or four contributors answered, and it might be hard for you to really pick the right answer, especially if some of the answers might be a little contradictory or might be expanding on certain things. And that's kind of where the, you know, the community comes into play here, right? So me being, you know, a SQL Server person, I live in the SQL world. I might read this question and I might know the answer, but clearly this has already been answered. Okay, so I might not necessarily contribute a full answer to this question, but what I would do is I would read these answers, not only to, you know, make this question better, but also to maybe just, you know, read something. Maybe I might pick up something and maybe I might learn something. But ultimately, say I'm reading this answer right here and, you know, I'm kind of scratching my head and, you know, me being, a SQL person, I might say, well, you know, this might not be correct. And I'm just using this as an example, of course. I'm not going to read through this entire answer right now. But if, you know, there's something technically wrong here, what I might do is I might downvote this. I might add a comment and say, are you sure about this, that, or the other thing? Or, I believe that this really should be that. And maybe I might, you know, put up a piece of official documentation kind of proving why I'm, refuting this person's answer. And what that's really good for is now the person that asked the question will come and he'll see, oh, he might have, you know, this answer got downvoted, or there's a little comment discussion going on to clarify some certain things. Maybe that's not the answer that I should take back on my local machine and implement. And likewise, you know, really good answers, that are correct, they get rewarded in the sense that they're upvoted, they're accepted and that type of thing. So what kind of results from that is a natural kind of wiki environment, right? So when you search something online, right, you go to Google or Bing or whatever it is, and you search for it, and you come up with that Stack Overflow post, that Stack Overflow question, and you see the first answer there, it's got a green check mark beneath it, and it's upvoted 100 times or whatever, right? So without you having to determine the quality of that answer, the rest of the community has, from people like us upvoting the answer. Or if you asked a question and then that answer worked for you, you marked it as the answer, right? So it's kind of the way that it makes that knowledge share and that referenceable material. So ultimately, that's really kind of the structure of it. And this is a lot more consumable after the fact, and even during the fact, than what we've been used to with the posting type of forum structures that we've seen before, of course.
I think that was a really great overview. Next up, I asked Tom a little bit about how you know if a question has been answered. Let's see what he has to say.
If you stumbled upon this here, this question right here, and you know, this question might pertain to you, or maybe you asked this particular question and you started looking at the answers, you see an answer here, this has three upvotes, and of course in this case the user had put the green check mark here accepting it as the answer, and great example here, and this second answer has one downvote, right? Okay, this might be, it's already solved. For whatever reason, it might just be kind of a duplicate answer. But, you know, it makes you gear your solution towards the higher vote, the accepted answer. And that way, you know, with this particular issue, now I no longer have to read through a long chain of forum posts. So it definitely makes asking and answering really efficient. But it also kind of makes that knowledge share wiki environment also really productive, which is why we oftentimes stumble upon Stack Overflow posts when you Google your programming question. So really great structure. I really believe in it, and I believe in it not just for programming, but for also database administration, as well as some, you know, more deeper topics of, you know, certain things, as well as I mean, I had something going on with my car the other day, and there is a Stack Exchange site for motor vehicles. So, you know, I like to turn wrenches on cars, but I definitely don't know everything about cars. So I, you know, ran my question by people that are looking to answer questions about cars, and a lot better with cars than I am. So they answered it. And, you know, it's that environment where we can now have this pure connectivity with experts, right? I might be pretty good with, you know, programming, and I might be pretty good with SQL Server, but I'm definitely not an expert in growing tomatoes. So I'll let somebody else answer my questions, and then hopefully I can answer their questions when they ask something about C Sharp or SQL Server. So it's a really great environment. So that's pretty much, you know, the tip of the iceberg, and it is the tip of the iceberg.
Tom made a couple of great points about the accepting environment that Stack Overflow really is. It is a place for anyone to come and ask a question about almost any topic, so you should feel like it's okay. And there will be people that will tell you, hey, this question's already been asked, it's been asked here. That's perfectly fine. So go ask some questions. But before you do, let's hear from Tom a little bit more about what makes a good question that will get answered. Let's hear what he has to say.
So a really good question, and you know, especially on Stack Overflow, just because of the nature of how much traffic is on Stack Overflow. Stack Overflow, you'll notice real quickly if you've asked a good question or if you've definitely not asked a good question. But a really good question is something that, and the first thing to ask a really good question, you need to make sure you should actually ask that question. And there's a few things that kind of go into deciding whether or not you should ask that question. And definitely the first and the biggest one that'll, you know, get maybe negative attention on the question is if it's a common question that has already been answered. So a lot of times you might be looking at, you know, Stack Overflow, you'll see, the question was maybe closed because it was a duplicate. And ultimately that there's a chance that the person that had asked that question originally maybe didn't really do the legwork to see if, hey, was this question already asked on Stack Overflow? And if it was there an answer? Or, you know, was this question like a complete match of my question? If so, you're done, right? You don't need to ask the question. There's already the answer to your particular question over here, right? So why ask it again? And you shouldn't, because, you know, the nature of Stack Exchange is to not have duplicate, you know, Q&A, right? So when somebody asks question A should never be asked again. And that's good because there's a moderating system. There's the community that can flag certain questions. Hey, you know what? I think this question was already asked and it was answered here. If it wasn't, let me know, but I think it was. So the first part of asking a good question is to make sure you should actually ask the question. And then part B of should I actually ask this question is you have to make sure the question's actually on topic, especially with, you know, one of the sites that has that much flow is Stack Overflow, and some of the other big ones like, you know, database administrators. You know, you have to make sure that the question is on topic, right? You know, if you ask on Stack Overflow, what book should I read to learn JavaScript? That's not what Stack Overflow is designed for. You know, that's a very open-ended discussion. It's very subjective. So what Stack Overflow and the Stack Exchange sites really kind of shine on is, hey, there is a right answer to this question. So if you say to yourself, there might not be a right answer or this could be interpreted differently, it's probably not a great question for one of the Stack Exchange sites, or you might just simply have to reword it in your head to make it a more objective question. So really specific questions like, hey, you know, I'm seeing this, and this. This is what I've tried. And then that's the other thing. So now it's time where, okay, I should be asking this question. It hasn't been asked before. It definitely is on topic with Stack Overflow. What makes a really good question? You know, the big thing that a lot of times we see on Stack Overflow, especially, and, you know, even some of the other bigger sites, is, you know, you see some people that really, you know, they're kind of abusing what, you know, Stack Exchange is there for. So you might see some questions that, you know, in short, basically say, can you write me this code, right? Or why isn't this working? You know, yeah, people that are here to answer, they're here to help, But, you know, you also kind of have to help yourself a little bit. And likewise, you have to help us kind of determine how we can help a little bit more. You know, so you got to explain, you know, what have you done? You know, if you've written code, what is the code you've written? Where is your, what, you know, what is the particular error getting thrown? Don't just say that, you know, you can't restore, you know, a database backup. Okay, there's probably 1,000 different reasons why you can't restore, you know, your database backup. So what's your error message? Give all of the surrounding details. If you think that there's any chance that somebody could say, but what about this? Then you're probably missing something. So really explain yourself, be specific, be very detailed in your question. And likewise, your question should be very narrow in scope. Like going back to, you know, the question of, you know, what book should I read for JavaScript? That first off, that's very subjective. That's not anywhere near that should be belong in Stack Overflow, but that scope is, you know, really, or what should I start first with learning in JavaScript? That scope is, you know, huge. It's very wide. There's no real right answer to that. Even if there was, it would just be, you know, it would just be pages and pages and books, right? So ultimately, we're looking for that narrow scope. So, you know, things like really specific questions here is what you should be looking for.
Tom made a couple of great points there about what makes a good question. The first point was make sure the question's not already been asked. The second point was to make sure it's on topic. So I asked Tom, go ahead and pull up one of these questions and break it down for us. Show us what you think about a question on Stack Overflow. Let's see what he has to say.
So, you know, this person is looking to get location when a marker is dragged. Here's a good question. Here's the code. This is, you know, what they're doing. This is maybe what they tried. And then their question is very specific. I'm just simply looking to get, you know, to update a text block location or whatever this question is all about. It's clearly a specific question. It's got upvotes. Other people are interested in seeing maybe what the answer is by starring it to be able to kind of bookmark it. So that's what you consider a really good question. And likewise, another really good point about what makes a really good question is the tagging mechanism. So obviously, you know, okay, so this user put jQuery in the actual question title, which isn't necessarily great practice, but ultimately, when you go into a question, you should be able to look at the tagging and see what technology, what language, what framework, you know, whatever the, you know, kind of wherever this question would be siloed, right? So if I didn't read any of this question, if I didn't read the subject, if I didn't read the body, if I didn't read any part of this question, but if I just look straight at these tags and if I saw, hey, okay, well, this question is definitely JavaScript and this question is most specifically about, you know, jQuery, you know, that the JavaScript library, right? So the tags are really good, not just for viewability, but also searchability, as well as filtering. And we'll kind of go into that a little bit as well. So ultimately, you know, another thing is, you know, you wouldn't ask a question and just not really have be as specific as you can with your tagging. Because ultimately, you know, if you didn't write JavaScript, right, you know, I might not know JavaScript, so I don't necessarily want to be reading this question. So it's a good mechanism to bring to the light of people that want to look at JavaScript and jQuery questions, and it's a good way for people to be filtering out these types of questions that maybe don't care about JavaScript and jQuery or don't know much about JavaScript and jQuery and don't necessarily want to be looking to answer this. So good tagging, specific tagging, and then, you know, last but most definitely not least, make sure you write your questions well. Okay, I mean, I can guarantee you, I am nowhere close to being good at writing or, you know, English itself. But, you know, make sure, you know, the caps look good. You know, your punctuation is there. If the question looks like it's not a fun question to read, most people won't read it, right? I mean, you know, especially with the, you know, the high operational tempo of something like Stack Overflow or DBA, you know, SE, you know, there's so many questions to be answered. Why would I spend my time reading a question that is just a pain to read, right? You know, this user, for example, they've put the code formatting on. This is easy to read code, okay? But if this person asked this question and didn't format this code, which is extremely simple to do through the the particular input box here, then it wouldn't really be easy. Nobody wants to consume a jQuery code and JavaScript code that's written in whatever that font would be. But so ultimately, just make it look good. Use your punctuation, use good grammar, and make it easy to read so people can make it easy to answer. So that's pretty much what a good question would be comprised of.
So that was Tom finishing up talking about what makes a good question. He talked about tagging, titles, good punctuation and grammar, and marking your code in a code block. I think these are great, great points and all helping to make a great question. So that's it for this. I want to thank Tom for coming out and talking to me about this. We're going to have part 2 next week, so stay tuned.